All right, good singing all the way around. Very glad you're here this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 5. If you'll look there in chapter 5, there's a passage, another passage. It says the very same thing pretty much as we're going to be reading this morning. But in chapter 5 and verse number 16, it's also repeated in Colossians 4 about verse number 5. And if you're able to stand while we look in verse 16 of Ephesians in chapter number 5. The Bible said, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's our text verse. Our walk ought to be redeeming the time because the days of evil. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it. We ask you to bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. I pray you'd search every heart. Lord, you'd speak to us, and we'll thank you for loving us in advance for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little bit a while of mine on redeeming the time. Now, you know, we live in a world that we're busy running to and fro, here, there, and yon. And I guarantee you right now is that we're moving sometimes so much that it's going to be hard to be able to look back and to see exactly what we did that was productive with our time. Yes, right. Done a lot of running. Yes, and I'm not talking about the accomplishments of the world, but I'm talking about the accomplishments that we have with God. I begin to think about in this lesson that we're looking at is that you'll find is that people are busy running here, there, and yon. But if you're going to want stability in your life to where you can walk uprightly, circumspectly, that's what he talked about it, where others can see how you look, how you act, how you walk in the world that we're living in. In this Bible lesson, I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take the word of the Lord. And let me tell you what it does. If you'll hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him, you'll be able to take and teach transgressors his way. That's the reason why in Ephesians 4:14, whenever he said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This Bible said that you and I, that we ought to be growing in grace and love and knowledge. You know, people seem in the day we live in seem to lose focus real easy. And not only that, but they're seemingly losing faith in the world that we're living in. And do you know why? Because you can't have strong faith and grow in grace and love and knowledge of him apart from the word of the Lord. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find, you know, baptistically speaking, it would have been a lot easier if God would have just left out a whole lot of this other and said, look, you'll have to go to church this many times in your life. That's where the average Baptist, why we don't know anything much about the Bible. We say sometime or another coming down, sitting down, showing up, it's going to be enough. I first started out, you know, people dressed skimpy in church and out of church. I thought I was at the chiropractic place, you know. They was pulling their shirts off for I can't have to tell you how much trouble I get in that. I want to say that when you look into it, the Bible said that you and I, that we're to be not thrown about with every wind of doctrine, and we're not children anymore. And I'm going to tell you right now is we're living in a world that's losing focus, and they're losing faith. And you know what the bottom line is? They just don't believe what God had to say. That's where we're at. I call on one of you preachers up here, and don't get discouraged if you go somewhere and somebody says, they act like they just didn't care. They more than likely don't. I got to say that as you begin to look into it, you find is that we've wasted a lot of our time, which means we've wasted a whole lot of our life. Now, let me tell you something. You can't call back time. I remember one of the sayings of my daddy, boy, if I could call back 20 years. Yeah, that's just it, Papa. You can't call back 20 years. Whatever you've done, yesterday's gone forever, and tomorrow may not ever come. If you've wasted it, it's wasted forever. You're not going to get it back. in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said that redeeming the time because the days are evil. I tell you something, if you don't get yourself busy with godly things and godly people, you're going to get busy with ungodly people and ungodly things. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You're not going to hang around beer drinkers and fornicators and idolaters. You're not going to get around people that are lying and cheating, conniving and cussing and living a godless, wicked life and it not contaminate your mind and contaminate and get off on you in your life. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, we need not waste any more of our time or any more of our life. You know what redeeming is? It means to buy it up. You're willing to pay for the time you got ahead? It means to buy it up. It means that we ought to rescue it from loss. I've got some time out here and I don't want to lose it. I've got to rescue it from loss. It also means to improve opportunity. Do you realize, though, that we are talking to these boys and girls and young men and young ladies? One of these days, the opportunity is going to come knocking at your door. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God showing you yourself like He sees you. It might be the opportunity of salvation. That's the most important thing. You ought not to waste that time. You ought to set up and listen to what God said and redeem the time and take advantage of the opportunity that's passing. It might be the opportunity of a calling of God. It might be the opportunity. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not involved in an opportunity that's heavenly, you'll get in an opportunity that's earthly. And it'll suck up all your life. And it'll suck up all your time. And you won't have any time for God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God knows exactly how to be able to get our attention. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how that we're busy doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, if we want to do it, wherever we want to do it, looking however we want to, when we want to? And did you ever notice every now and again that God brings somebody up and stops us right in the middle of the road and makes us realize and know that, buddy, that we ought not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Every now and again, you know, you go to thinking about them. Listen, if God's trying to get my attention, and He certainly does, we better make the best of each day we've got. Do you realize, though, that it's each one of us, time is a different commodity. It's more for some people than it is for another. You can't go to ahead thinking, well, you know, so-and-so does this or does that or done this or done that and all that, and they seem like they did all right. Time is different for each and every person. As you look into it, you'll find that some live longer than others do. I've noticed that. Have you noticed that? If you go out there, Charles Hatton Spurgeon, they used to take his class, and he'd go out to the gravesite with it, and he'd show them, and they'd take a ruler, and they'd measure how long this grave was, how long that grave was, and then over here, some little bitty graves that didn't live very long, and how short they were. And he taught his class with a visual aid that some people live longer than other people do. And let me tell you right now is you better not get your eyes on what anybody else and everybody else is doing. You better get your attention focused upon the Lord and find out what He wants for you in your life. I want to tell you, time's running out, and here's what it involves, three or four or five things. If I can get through with these, and we'll get ready and go to lunch. Number one, the time we have involves living. You know, every time your heart beats, it's closer to the end of life. Yes, sir. Do you realize to know that one of these days, the only reason why your heart's still beating is God lets it beat another time. When God says that's it, it's going to stop and you're going to the other side. That's all there is to it. That is, if you're a child of God. If not, you're going to the other side without hope, without God for all eternity. Yes. Let me say to you that the living, time involves living. And let me say to you that every action you make, every moment you take involves your life, and you are to redeem it and not be a waster of it. You ever just sit around and take the whole time to do nothing but mully grub, gripe, complain, and want everything except what God allows you to enjoy? Well, you're not going to get that back. My grandson this morning, I said, "How you doing?" "Oh, I can't complain." I said, "That's the difference between me and you. I can." He said, "What are you complaining about?" "Nothing, but I can." You see what I'm talking about? Let me say, it involves living. Nice looking suit, by the way. Looks better on you than it does on me. I've got one. He said, "You got one just like it." I said, "Well, that's great. I'm glad to know that." And so when you look at it, life, it involves living. I walked in there not long after that, and there was Andrew with a whole bunch of them little old sticks that are in the, I don't know what it is, and they got a lot of sugar or something on it, and he had the whole thing dumped on the floor looking for a blue one. I'd be honest with you, I tried to help him find one. Gianni came in, that's the color you was hunting, but he dug clean down in the bottom of it. He looked like he was reaching as deep as he could go to get it. I said, "I don't know if there's going to be a blue one in there," or whatever is in my mind. I was talking to Brother Eddie, but in my mind, I was watching him out of the eye. But if Andrew didn't get, I thought to myself, reckon why they don't put more blue ones in there. Here's what I did. I took the taste test. I took a green one and ate it. And I took a red one and ate it. And then I took a blue one, not today that is, and I ate it. I got to be honest with you. They all of them taste the same to me. I mean, if I was a blind person trying to get me one, and you said, "All right, here, try this one," I couldn't tell the difference, but obviously y'all have more sensitive taste buds than I've got. Let me tell you something, is that when God says redeeming the time, I wouldn't take for that. You know what I did when I walked in? I looked around there and I thought to myself, "Old Dennis, 29 years is coming upon us. Where'd it go?"
Yep, you're right.
What a blessing to be a privilege to be able to be here in this church and with you people, and to be able to exalt and magnify the Lord. See those kids digging for a blue, whatever that is. I want to say to you that every now and again, you just need to stop and take a good look at how good God's been in this world we're living in. And number two involves loving. You know, if you're not careful, you'll not redeem the time. You're going to miss a lot of living and a lot of loving up and down the road. And by that I'm talking about, you're going to find that whenever he says, first of all, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You're going to miss a lot of loving if you're not careful to redeem the time and buy it up and use it wisely. The Bible said over there in the book of John, don't turn there, chapter 13, about verse number 35, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you love one another." It's the badge of discipleship. You know, in this lesson that you're looking at, and by the way, every now and again you're going to go home, and I don't know, men are not like this so much, and I don't know of any women at the present that are like that, but women are bad about looking at somebody else and being snooty about whatever it is they thought they could have improved on. Have any of y'all ever seen that? I'm not going to ask if you've exercised that, but I want to tell you something. What that'll do is that'll waste a lot of your time of loving the people of God. See? Somebody walk down the aisle, "I just want to get saved. Preacher, I just wanted to be able to come to know the Lord." And if you're not careful, you'll say, I don't believe they know what they're talking about. They're not serious about that whatsoever. Even Jackson's in on that. Redeem the time, the Bible said. And the reason being is because that's loving is the badge of discipleship. Number three is that if you don't redeem the time, you're going to miss a lot of learning. Now, you know, the public school system has always been an institute of lower learning. Not higher, but lower learning. And let me tell you right now, they're just now getting hold of the fact that all this godless, wicked, worldly, woke, communistic-minded, socialistic, a bunch that are now bombarding the public school system. They're just now realizing there ain't nothing they can do about it. So now they started homeschooling. Now, I want to tell you something. The learning that your child and that my child and grandchildren and so forth and on, somebody's going to have to redeem the time and not just wasting, because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Number four, let me say to you that it involves little ones. I can't tell you that they're only little one time. I was thinking about whenever I was putting all that together that these little old kids of ours, these babies of ours, that the wife used to hold in her arms, and now they're holding their own children in their arms. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm glad to be able to know that, in fact, is you can enjoy your grandchildren maybe better than your own children, because when you leave in the morning and come back at night, your children's still going to be there, still getting on your nerves. Still putting that down. Don't do that. I told you not to touch that. Blah, blah, and blah. You see? But if it's a grandchild, you say, hey, get it up, man. Your mama's home. Your daddy's home. But I'll tell you what you'll do is you wouldn't take for the experience, would you? You know, there's a lot of stages of growth. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. Their first step, the first time they talked and spoke a word. The first time they walk, the first time, you understand that? When they're young like this here, and these young people, you better redeem the time and buy it up and not just squander it away and try to make improvements upon managing it better, because they'll not be but young and growing up. Do you realize it though, that here, this is spooky. Here's a young man here that's turning 15. He won't be many moons away from being grown enough to be able to want to get on his own. Some of you been that way since that you were 12. But sooner or later, they're growing up, moving on, moving out. Then I want to say to you that if you will, please, number five, is that if you're redeeming the time, you're going to realize that, no, there's going to be a time of leaving. You know why? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And let me tell you right now, whenever I look and I see what everybody's doing, and I look and see how good God's been to you and I, and I begin to look at these boys and these girls, I keep praying for them on a regular basis, and I beg God, Lord, give them direction and help them to stay in the will and in the walk of God with Him. And then I want to say that number six, there's a time of loss. We're going to be facing that with others, not only with ourselves, but with others. Do you know the Bible said, and you don't have to turn there, but over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 47, about verse number 8 and about verse number 9, do you know He reprimanded them because of the fact that they thought, while they were living in pleasure, the Bible said, is that they dwelt carelessly. They weren't careful about God, the things of God. And let me tell you what happened was, He said two things are going to happen, loss of children, and you're going to lose some things. In fact, let me just read the passage to you. It's in Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 8, verse number 9. As you look there in the passage there, in Isaiah chapter number 47, verse number 8, verse 9. Therefore hear now this, thou that are given to pleasures. Don't you like having a good time? I know I do. But then that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart that I am and none else beside me, and I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee and in their perfection for the multitude of sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Now see, there's somebody that did not buy the time up right, didn't use it right. As a result, they were having fun and having pleasure and thinking nobody, we're unstoppable. But God did stop them. I say to you that if you will, over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, remember that in chapter 3, that when God tests our works as a Christian And the Bible said that if your works are burned up, you'll be saved. You're going to suffer loss, but be saved yet so as by fire. In this Bible lesson, you'll find that in Philippians, and I'd like you to turn to there just for a second, over in the book of Philippians, there's a passage that we ought to be looking at, and it's in Philippians in chapter number 3, and it's in about verse number 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom that I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I want to tell you something. That's why God said over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, because now is the accepted time. You know why? You may not have any more after this. You better buy it up. You better take advantage of the opportunity present. Now, I can tell you what I do notice, that when it comes time to leave this world, things around you, you'll lose interest for. When it comes time to be able to leave this world, it won't matter how much you've obtained, it won't matter how much you've gained, none of that ever is going to mean that much to you. There's not a one of you, if you had somebody that was a loved one that was on their deathbed, you'd be willing to give everything you've got for them to be able to get up and get out and be made whole again. You know why? Because what we were spending our time with, we've realized that though now, it's about ended. There's going to be many a boy that's going to wish that it went to church with their mom and daddy. There's going to be many a girl that's going to wish they had went to church with their mama, their daddy, their sister, their brother, their kin, folks they love that love them dearly. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to want to back up time, and they're not going to be able to. See what I'm talking about? The time you lose, the time you waste, you'll never get it back. That's the reason why God said to walk circumspectly. Be upright. Walk upright among men. Let them see your walk. Let them hear your talk. Let it glorify God and redeem the time. Because the days are evil and pulling at you from every side. I wonder this morning, what are you doing with your time? I know it's pierced my heart. Yes, sir. Made me stop and think just for a few moments, yes, how good God's been in spite of what I've done. You know what makes me know it, don't you? It's been kind of a heavy heart walking around this week knowing that our family, church family, is facing what they're facing. And then I saw my wife walking across. We must have been on the other side of the track in Alexandria. And then I got thinking, oh, we're in Louisiana. It's all like this. But I saw my dear little old wife walking across pushing a buggy. We had been riding a while. And I thought, dear God, please help us, help our folks, help our church. Lord, thank you for letting me present my petition to you. Lord, thank you for having heard and answered prayer. And I looked up, and there she came across an aisle pushing a buggy. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make no mistake about it, God knows how to get our attention. You may run, you may hide, but you're not going to escape the all-seeing eye and hand of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege to present our petitions to you. I'm asking you to bless not only these that are gathered here, but dear God, you speak to every heart. Lord, I pray that you'd right every wrong. I pray that you'd help us to be able to exalt and magnify thy name. And I pray you'd hug up the Rice family real close today and help them face the days ahead. Now, maybe somebody here this morning is not yet saved. I trust they'll try, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him in the free pardon of sin. Maybe somebody here saved and yet grown cold in their heart toward thee. May Lord, you start revival in their heart. We'll say thank you for all you've done and all you're doing in Jesus' name.